whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And that's what's hard for players. It's they're under contracts. They know when their contract's going to run up. That's an emotional time for players, for their families, for wives, girlfriends, whoever it is, kids. Just like it is for coaches, when I can't always tell them exactly what their future is going to be the day the season ends. It's tied to a lot of other people, and I've been on that side. I know wives are texting you all day asking what the deal is, and they don't believe that you really don't have an answer yet. And I know what they look like when you walk home through the door and they're like, what are we doing with our lives? And you're like, I don't really know. There's a lot of things that you want to solve so fast for people that is stressful for people sitting in our chairs, but you can't solve everything at once. A lot of things are tied together.
Sorry, this Jimmy Carter's funeral is playing on our screen right now, and they've got all the old presidents there. Trump is sitting next to Obama and
literally
George Bush. They're chopping it up.
George Bush is
the way, over there.
Has aged gracefully.
Yeah. You got Mike Pence in the back. Bill Clinton's there with Hillary. And then they just showed Joe Biden walking in, Sleepy Joe. And I'm like, boy.
Sitting next to Kamala.
It's a Sleepy Joe, man. Looks like he doesn't even know where he's at. Anyway, where'd you make it at?
That former President Jimmy Carter has passed away at the age of amazingly 100. I don't know if he's the first president to ever make 100. He was not a great president.
Oh my God.
It's Mike Francesa, man.
Mike Francesa.
Way to have a grace period.
Blasting him in a eulogy.
Way to have some grace,
oh
man.
Oh my God.
Damn, Francesa. Is that what happens when you get older? You just let it fly?
I mean, you know just what? Let it fly. They call it a trilogy when you just like cut right to the chase and you don't fake it.
Is that what they call
Eddie
it?
Eddie and Hoboken, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's happening?
Hey, Mike, Stan Lee died today. Did you ever meet the guy? What do you think of him?
Stan Lee?
Yeah, Stan Lee.
I don't know who he is.
Lee?
Don't know who he is, no.
Jesus.
Who is he? Who is Stan Lee?
He was one of the creators of Marvel Comics.
Oh, who cares?
It sounds like
Bonte. No, I knew you were gonna go there. You knew you gotta go. You know I'll stick about this because
Francesa needs to be protected at all costs. I mean, he literally went Jimmy Carter, awful president.
Awful president.
I mean, Stan Lee. First sentence.
No, but you know his show, what's Mad Dog left? In his show, he would get people calling in. Like, he had this guy call in about a game in, like, 1957. And the guy was like, oh, I don't know, it's a famous call when a guy was calling about a game in 1957 and who didn't cover third base or something. And Francesa's like, what are you talking about? Why is this important right now? He would start getting troll calls left and right. And you know what? I'm not going to lie. I walked through the city yesterday after the inauguration and it felt good to walk through the city. And it's like, man, the city's vibing. I feel like the city's going to be back in no time. I started thinking about Cam and Antioch yesterday, and I don't know why these callers stick with me, but Cam and Antioch, KC in San Jose, guys who just start trolling and coming at you saying, you're lying, you don't criticize, and they just start trolling you. And I've become, in a way, my inner Mike Francesa comes out. I was like, man, what the hell are you talking about? Are you trolling right now? So these guys, like, just calling, hey, Stan Lee died today. Like, why would you call Mike Francesa? Why would he care?
Let me give you a quick Jimmy Carter stat.
Oh, man.
Babe Ruth has more home runs during the life of Jimmy Carter than any active player in Major League Baseball. The current leader, active leader for home runs in baseball, Mike Trout, 400-something. Or not Mike Trout. Mike Stanton, 400-something. Babe Ruth had like 500 home runs during the life of Jimmy Carter. That's how old Jimmy Carter was. That's crazy.
Yeah, he was born in 1924.
That's crazy.
Eddie in Hoboken, what's up, Eddie?
Eddie in Hoboken, what's up, Eddie? Francesco, man.
He's a gem. Please play the Jimmy Carter one more time. He finds out that he passes away and then
former
rips him.
President Jimmy Carter has passed away at the age of amazingly 100. I don't know if he's the first president to ever make 100. He was not a great president.
Within six seconds.
In fairness to Mike, right after it, he does say, very good person, very good guy,
not a good president.
How would he know he's a great, very good person?
I don't even know.
Because he's like a humanitarian. Like, I think it's widely known. Like, he does a lot of charity efforts, humanitarian efforts.
Yeah, I mean, great. But does he know him? A lot of people do great humanitarian efforts.
He is the president that is known as like a good person. Yeah, like that is the thing he is known for in his life is being a good person.
Absolutely,
that we know
Simpsons,
of. Right?
That we know exactly. As that we know of. Yes,
that we know of. Like there's a lot of scoundrels.
Wait till the D-Files come out.
I mean,
relax. Our determinations.
There's a lot of scoundrels out there who are good to the community, and that's it's like
I can't even believe you said that.
Yeah, Skip Bayless.
Mike Francesa, man. I'm not gonna lie. During the Yankee playoff run, he would go live 10 or 15 minutes after the game. Yeah. I tune in every one of those things. He's unbelievable. He just goes off. Like, you talk about a guy who doesn't come up for air. He's a pro's pro when it comes to not coming up for air.
Oh, don't who cares?
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMTF, MNHG1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Stan Lee, who's that? Let's go to Jordan in San Jose.
Hey, Jordan.
Jordan, what's up?
Hey, first time caller. Thank you for taking my call. I was talking. You guys were talking about receivers.
Yeah.
And the one problem that they had Niners have, and I think you might agree with it, is they don't have any speed. And
totally agree.
They had problems with the red zone offense. So I truly do believe they need to pick up a wide receiver with some speed, so they can open up the playbook more.
I wonder if,
I don't know what you guys
think. I wonder if Jacob Cowing can't be a guy that could really like help them stretch the field. The one thing, not only do they not have a lot of speed, I think this is why Juwan Jennings has been such a good player for them. He's the one guy who's big and like can box some people out a little. That's the one area that I've been very frustrated with Shanahan's receiving core. Ayuk and Debo had some monster years. I'm just saying, like, it's nice to have a 6'3", 6'4", guy who can just body somebody and help over. Like, hey, it's one-on-one.
Higgins.
I'm just going to throw it to him toward the boundary, and we're just going to move the sticks.
You talk about a guy like T. Higgins?
Yes.
Knowing that we – hindsight's 2020, right? That's what they say. Niners go 6-11. You pay Ayuk, right? And Cincinnati didn't pay their wide receivers. Now, they didn't go to the playoffs either, Cincinnati. They got off to a horrendous start. But boy, you say that, you look at a guy like T. Higgins, when he's healthy and he's on and he's running those fade routes and go routes and power slants, you're like, damn, 6'4", 6'5", 205, that's what you're talking about here. But can Jacob Cowing be some sort of version of Zay Flowers in Baltimore?
Well, Zay's really good.
Zay's really good.
He's a dynamic player.
But can he be some version of that?
Okay.
In terms of you looking at his build and his speed and, the intermediate stuff, the quick wide receiver screens. I don't know. I'm looking for a guy like that because Zay is a guy where Jordan in San Francisco or San Jose said a wide receiver to take the top off the defense. It doesn't have to be 6'4", doesn't have to be 5'11". No. But can you just get a guy who can take the top off the defense, cried out loud?
Here's a guy that you're going to roll your eyes, but a better version of a Tutu Atwell. Like, Tutu Atwell is not a guy that you're going to have on the the whiteboard. Like, we got to stop this guy. But he seems to be like, whenever the Rams need a big play, he somehow is there. And you use him to stretch the field. He's more decoy than he is impact. Yeah. Like, Puka's their star, right?
Right.
Even Cooper Kupp is being used more as, not a decoy, but he's just not a primary focus of their offense.
Started going into Marcus Robinson a little more.
But they do use Tutu at times when they need to stretch the field.
Right. I like that, but I need a little more than Tutu.
Of course.
Because Tutu, it feels like every four games, right? He's one of those guys every four games.
Point.
He's like the Lee Evans, right? Lee Evans in Buffalo would be good for every four games.
That's such a great call.
Dude, Lee Evans in fantasy football, Spadone. Lee Evans would get drafted high. Like, I'm not drafting him. He's only giving you four games. Shout out to Lee Evans.
Score 12 on my bench.
Right.
I put him in there. He scores two.
Scores two, exactly.
It's
he's like Chris Chambers or something, right? I mean, Chris Chambers had what? One time, Chris Chambers had an excellent Thanksgiving game against the Dallas Cowboys. Was it against the Cowboys or maybe in the Lions? But Chris Chambers went crazy. It's another one of those guys who give you four games. But can I get a consistent deep threat every single game where a defense has to come in saying, okay, we cannot let this guy get behind us. That's what they are definitely missing that on this football team. There's no doubt.
Well, they missed that this year, big time. And I think that that also forces those safeties to get a little out of the box. And you know that they want to run the ball, right? Yep. Obviously, you want to run the ball. And so I think it's a double whammy. They haven't been able to run the ball as effectively as they wanted. They can't get to that play action. They can't take the top off. This year was a lost year in many ways.
But going back to that sound, I want 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, I'll play the short one here. And I want fans, when Kyle Shanahan said this, you say what? You say what about this, Roasters? 888-957-9570 is the number. Here it is. Shanahan, I'm Brock.
Brock is the leader of our team. I've loved these 3 years with Brock. I plan on being with Brock here the whole time I'm here. So, like, Brock's been a stud. He's a guy I got a lot of confidence in, and just as a human. But it starts with what he's done on the field these last 2.5 years, and we're capable of winning a Super Bowl with him. We just almost did. And I know he's capable of getting the Niners Super Bowl in the future.
And here's John Lynch on Brock.
Well, listen, I think what we know about Brock is that he's our guy. We've got, you know, we have interest in Brock being around here for a long, long time. He's done so much for our organization. He's won big games had a little tougher task, as we all did this year, with some of the things that happened throughout the course of the year. We just never could string games where we were all together. And through that, he continued to lead. He continued to play at a high level. So we have every interest in him being around.
So that's John Lynch on Purdy. That's Kyle Shanahan on Purdy. 888-957-9570. Is Purdy your guy? How confident are you in Purdy being the guy here in San Francisco? That's what Lynch and Shanahan said yesterterday. 888-957-9570 is the number. And I'll play this quick 10-second soundbite because I want to add Debo to the equation. Here's what John Lynch said about Debo.
Debo's under contract. And yeah.
He's second back.
A good player and has done a ton for this organization. You know, we're not in the business of letting good players out of here. So, yeah.
What do you think about that? Debo, will he be a Niner next season? Because I will wait on that. I would wait on that. That's coming up, brought to you by MB Jesse Painting.
A joke for you, Bonte.
Oh, who cares?
Hey, yo, it's Zeusky, man. You listen to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
Hey, man, that was an excellent rejoin right there by Francesca. Hey, Shasky, you know me, man. I'm the weirdo. I'm a weirdo, too. You always say you're a weirdo, but I'm the guy on vacation sending you guys interviews of, like, past times.
The best.
I'm texting you guys about Super Bowl 54 while I'm in Cabo. You guys are starting side chats. Like, what is this guy doing?
Oh, who
why is he watching the Super Bowl over in Cabo?
And I'm what over here grinding Bryce Eldridge single A swings.
But remember when I was in France at the time? This is the European extravaganza. And I sent Shasky. What did you say?
Evan.
No, what did you say?
The king has something to say. Your majesty, could you please tell us a king's tale from your travels across the realm?
The king's tale? What is the king's tale?
I didn't vote for you.
He was not a great president.
I can't. You love Mike Francesca. You love him.
Well, if you're the king, then I'll be Shogun Shasky.
No, no. I actually like High Heat Hill.
Yeah, that was a good one.
I actually like that name a lot. Midas of Hennessy.
Shogun's such a great show.
GSLP. I heard Shogun was good.
So good.
I've been watching Dexter. But no, I sent Shasky while I was in France poolside waiting on some crab. And I was like, I just want some Mad Dog and Francesca. I don't know why, what name he wanted. I don't know what happened. It was like 1991. They did an interview with George Steinbrenner for an hour.
Yeah.
This is before George Steinbrenner got suspended for 2 years. And I sent it to Shasky. And Shasky's like, what are you doing listening to Francesca in a 1991 Steinbrenner interview with Francesca and Russo?
I couldn't put it down.
It was amazing,
it was
right?
Incredible.
Those guys are amazing.
It was incredible.
That's why now I hold Angelo Cataldi in high regard. So those old school radio jocks that went through the 90s and would just let it fly. And that's why when Angelo Cataldi came on the show and said, we did something that nobody's ever done in the city of Philadelphia. That city literally hates us.
Yeah.
They hate us.
And I hate them back.
And I hate them back.
Even though I like their city. Actual city I like.
I actually like their uniforms.
Yeah,
the Eagles.
I smoke with Mike, though.
The green ones, the Kelly green ones, are just
they're incredible. Unbelievable.
They're incredible.
And their personnel. I love their personnel.
Gilly. Every Gilly video I see, I go, dude, he's living my life as an Eagle fan.
Gilly, I'm the overkill, man. Him and Wallow.
I'm jealous. The freedom. It's the freedom for me. What I mean by freedom is the ability to do whatever you want whenever you want.
Yeah, that is.
And say whatever you want.
I mean, that is the American dream.
It really is.
It's American dream.
Oh, who cares?
See, it's a franchise. Every time the music plays, Bonte goes, it's not a king tale and then proceeds to tell a long story. That wasn't even
that's
a story.
The whole point.
I just said.
That's
no,
the whole point.
No, it's not a king's tale. All I did was send Shasky an audio of Francesca and Mad Dog. I can't get enough of those guys. The old school sports talk radio show. What would they say about Lynch saying this about Deebo Samuel?
Now, Debo's under contract. Yeah.
Expect him back.
A good player and has done a ton for this organization. You know, we're not in the business of letting good players out of here. So, yeah.
To me, that sounds like Lynch is leaving a full line open on Deebo Samuel. Sure, they would love to have him here under his last year of contract. But the businessman in John Lynch and the businessman in Parag Marate and the businessman in Kyle Shanahan knowing that, you know what, Ricky Pearsall did come on at the tail end of the season. Juwan Jennings is a player. We love Juwan Jennings. He's everything we want in a football player. You know, kind of like Juwan Jennings in a way kind of reminds me of Joe Giravicius from Penn State.
What
and maybe
a name.
Maybe John Lynch sees that in Juwan Jennings, a guy who will run block, who's tenacious, and will break a long play despite being slow as hell because he's a physical player. Maybe he's something like that. I don't know. I'm just throwing a name out there. Maybe that's why John Lynch loves him. But Deebo Samuel, if I said Shasky, make a bet, yes or no, on Deebo being back with the 49ers.
I think today I'd say yes, but I want to see how this offseason goes.
Yeah, I think they're going to field calls on Deebo once again, knowing that it's his last year, knowing that they are probably not going to be in a rush to try to extend him when Deebo will probably want an extension, knowing how this year ended, maybe having a fresh start, knowing what they want in terms of taking the top off the defense, and knowing that Brandon Ayuk's going to come back. That didn't sound very convincing to me that John Lynch, you know, at the podium said, yeah, we want Deebo back. He's under contract.
Can Deebo stay on this roster and not be a primary focus every couple weeks?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think so. We saw the tweet this past season. The tweet this past season where he's looking at his social media and he said, yeah, I'm not washed. I'm just not getting the ball. And then the next week on Thursday Night Football, you drop a quick slant for a touchdown, and you go through a five-week stretch in which you have 101 yards receiving. So that, to me, didn't sound convincing on the Deebo front.
See, like, I just wonder if Shanahan can have him on the team and Deebo could play on the team and him not be a primary focus every couple weeks, because that's just how they've always operated.
Yeah.
And you kind of got to feed him, you know? Like, there's a way that he needs to be utilized, and so I don't know, man. But the other part of this is that his cap number's not that bad.
It's not bad.
You know, it's not bad. That bad. I just wonder, like, if a guy in free agency, like a guard, becomes available they want to overspend for, now does he become a guy that, like, yeah, we'd like to have him, but it's a luxury to have him at that price point, and we need that extra, let's just say, $5 million, $6 million. And by releasing him, trading him, moving him, we get a little relief to be able to afford a guard.
Right.
Like that's where I would say it gets a little tricky.
I know you don't save much if you trade Deebo
Samuel.
No, it's
not a big save.
What is it, $4 to $5 million?
Yeah. It's not much.
So it's not much at all. And he does mean something with this team. However, I don't think he's going to hold out this last year of a deal. If he did, oh my gosh. Could you imagine Deebo Samuel holding out after the season he just had? That would be insane. But I do wonder, like, if they would just take the hit, saying that we know we're not going to save much, but it's time to move on. It's time to start the process now, knowing that maybe we could get a pick for this upcoming draft to maybe replace a Deebo Samuel or a Deebo Samuel type.
There's, like, you know, the way we talk about Draymond Green, like, as long as Draymond's on the roster, it's going to be very difficult to do offensively what they want to do.
Right.
And I do believe that, and I'll buy this, having Deebo on the team, you're almost forced to bending into trying to acquiesce to him at times because of his personality and because of his relationship to Kyle. Because they're clearly buddies.
They're tight.
And maybe there's something to be said for you kind of just got to move off so that Kyle resists the urge to create many game plans suited to him at the expense of the other playmaker.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey.
Pearsall, Ayuk, Jennings, Ayuk, yeah, no Kittle.
Kittle, yep.
Yeah, you know, whoever it might be. He's a good player, but like I think by subtracting him, do you actually make it easier to run your offense?
I do, especially if you want to reinvent the passing game, right? Or if you want to modernize your passing game. Can you modernize and upgrade question. Your passing game with a guy like Deebo Samuel?
I don't think you can. Yeah.
You know? If you want to throw the ball,
it just
down
makes. I feel like I'm being so totality. Like, oh no, he's just not good.
No, you're not saying that.
He's good in the right system,
no.
But I think when you add up the pros and cons to what you're saying about like the passing game evolving, yeah, you might be better off like saying goodbye. Like I'm more intrigued on what Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowan and whoever else they bring in could possibly be, as opposed to trying to see if you can salvage the last year of a deal of Deebo.
Right. Yeah,
if I was weighing the
two. Right, right. I wonder if they want to just tweak some things in the pass game, can you do it with Deebo Samuel on this roster, knowing that he's limited in terms of his route running? But what did you make that? It sounded like, in terms of the Deebo stuff, that they weren't convincing. Like, John Lynch didn't convince me that Deebo's going to be back. I want to see how the offseason plays out. I'm with you here. I want to see if they do fill calls for Deebo Samuel, because they did last year out of nowhere, and I thought Debo's coming off a pretty damn good year, and they took calls on Deebo Samuel before the draft and during the draft, and Deebo even acknowledged that, yeah, we're aware of what's going on here. Now, he did sound convincing about Brock Purdy. Did that make you feel better about the proposition of Brock Purdy being on this roster? Well, they were as convincing about him than any quarterback I can remember being in a 49er uniform under Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch.
What it made me feel was that I think they're close on the Brock deal. And I think they're a lot closer. I think Brock knows that they're kind of close, and that's very encouraging. I think once you solidify that, then we can start to really understand, okay, can you afford Greenlaw? Can you afford having Deebo on this team? Or do we need those draft picks to get cheaper and to get, you know, less expensive at other spots on the team? Yeah, I was very encouraged to hear them say what they said. That being said, they made similar comments about Brandon Ayuk, and it felt like that just dragged on. And they've made it very clear for multiple years leading up to the extension for Nick Bosa. Oh, Nick Bosa will be on this team. He's going to be a part of it. Now, like, it's the Parag, John Lynch, and then the agent. Get it done.
Yeah, and I think they will. And I think they will, just to calm the waters. And I think a lot of people learned their lessons. I think they learned their lessons. Now, when it came to defensive coordinator is very interesting. 888-957-9570, 49er fans. Do you have any? Who's your list of candidates? Who's your top three in terms of defensive coordinators? We'll get Shasky's top three. We'll get my top three in a second. I want to hear from Spadoni as well and Carter about their top three in terms of defensive coordinators. But Nick Sorensen's out. Nick Sorensen is out. And they want to make room for him on the staff. They would love for him to come back. Here's what Shanahan said about that.
I don't know. I haven't done it before. I'm sure it is a challenge. It has to do with, is that something that you want to do? Is it something you're comfortable with? I know our building would be comfortable with it. I know our players would be comfortable with it. This was a tough year, but Nick didn't lose any respect or anything like that from any of our players or our coaches. And I think if you talk to anyone, whether it's with you guys in the media or just one-on-one, he's got a lot of respect for people from people here, and everyone does think he's a good coach. You know, I spent these last 2 days having exit interviews. It's to go through these 2 days where all I do is just talk to people, and you talk to everybody. Lots of good feedback on Nick, and I think the guys would be real excited if he was here next year.
Now, would he want to be back here? That would be awkward. That would be awkward to me, Shasky.
I love Shanahan, and I know why he's saying it, and I'm not mad at him for supporting his guy. No one in the league is hiring Nick Sorensen to be their DC.
No, nobody.
Okay, and you might like him as a person. That doesn't mean he's great at his job. There's a lot of people I've worked with who I like as people, and I think they stink at their job, and that's okay. Those are independent things. I also think you're setting yourself up for tremendous blowback if you put him at special teams coordinator and anything goes wrong on special teams. People are going to be like, this guy was a failed DC, and now he's especially. You know who you need on his special teams as your coordinator? Someone who is an expert at special teams.
Bones
Not
Fossil.
Someone who has been a failed DC. I'm sorry. Bones Fossil? That's just my personal opinion.
You need Bones Fossil? Need a guy like him?
I want someone who's been doing the job for a little time.
I want creativity. Like, I want, you know, with special teams and Niners, when the last time they ran a fake punt? Was it with Harbaugh? When was the last time the 49ers actually ran a fake punt? Did they ever run a fake punt under Kyle Shanahan?
I can't remember the last time they ran a fake punt.
I remember when Jim Harbaugh and the Niners did it against Kansas City when Alex Smith came back to Levi's Stadium. His first game back against the 49ers at Levi's, the Niners ran a fake punt late in the fourth quarter to extend the drive and keep the ball away from
Kansas
City. Was
that a direct snap?
It may have been a direct snap.
My favorite one of all time is I went to the game where Alex got, well, I went to many of those games, but he got concussed against the Rams, and Jeff Fisher ran two fake punts in that game. One of them, the punter went to go fake kick it and like did a behind the back play. Dude, it was ridiculous. Jeff Fisher, in my head. I know this sounds, I'd hire Jeff Fisher to be my special teams coach.
I know a special teams coach that was a former interim head coach and took a team to the playoffs. He's currently on the Green Bay Packers staff and may be interested.
Rich Bisaccia would be bad.
They have a really good special teams. Keyshawn Nixon, he's very good with them over there.
Look, guys,
look, I want the guy. Who's the guy for UNLV? I don't know if I want him as my special teams coordinator, but I want to steal his play that he ran against Cal in the LA Bowl. Did you see that punt, fake punt?
Yes,
the receiver lined out wide.
I know that. What you mean, though.
I know that, man. That guy, that was such a sick fake punt. I was like, I've never seen that before. No. And it worked, and it popped, and it flipped the entire football game, the L.A. Bowl, the Gronkowski L.A. Bowl.
Well, like, special teams coordinator is one thing. What do you do with the kicking game? That's a whole nother, like, question. You know, I don't know what you do there. Let me read you off some of my
Chase,
names.
You know, Chase McLaughlin is now a damn good kicker with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Yeah.
He's the guy who kicked one into the tunnel in that overtime against Seattle.
He also hit a couple in that game. He did. Kicked the worst overtime field goal I've ever seen in my life. Or was it the end of the game?
No, it was overtime.
Yeah, it was one of the worst kicks I've ever seen in my life.
Almost hit Jennifer Lee Chan.
He, like, towed one and it just went left.
Now he's a hell of a kicker. He's kicking deep in Tampa Bay, Raymond James Stadium.
That UNLV special teams coordinator is going to Purdue, James Chabest, because Dan Mullen, now head coach over UNLV, kind of cleaned house.
Barry Odom.
So he got fired.
He already moved on.
Is his name Barry Odom, who took the Purdue job? He was the UNLV coach. He took the Purdue job to go into the Big Ten, which I don't know why he took that job.
Well,
but anyway.
Here are some of my defensive quarter, because special teams is even more niche than DC. I wrote down about 15 names here, all right? And I'm just going to rat-a-tat-tat them.
I want your top three.
Mine or the people that are getting linked to the Niners?
Yours. I want yours. Your top three. Who would you like to see as the DC of the San Francisco 49ers next season?
All right. Al Golden is in my top three, and he's the Notre Dame defensive coordinator. He was at Miami, University of Miami. He's been a head coach, played in the NFL. To me, he's a guy who's well-versed and well-traveled. Both Harbaugh brothers have taken coordinators from the college ranks, and they've gone back and forth. I think John hired one of Jim's DCs and brought him up to Baltimore, et cetera. I actually think
McDaniel, I believe, in Michigan for a while.
So I think that, like, you can go to the college ranks and get a DC. I wouldn't be mad at Al Golden. And I know it's not a name that inspires. He's not getting some head coaching job.
No.
Like, he's a DC for life. I'm not going to lie to you. The Patrick Graham one, even though I scoffed at it from Spadoni earlier this year.
Nah, he's good.
Like, Belichick tree, that's intriguing. Because Belichick tree, to me, screams versatility.
And he coached with Brian Flores down in Miami.
And then the other guy that I am more and more open-minded to, and I just don't think they're going to get him, but Lou Anarumo, however you pronounce
Anarumo.
His name. Thank you. I just butchered that. I'm in on him. One more. Let me give you one more. I don't want to hire one of these Viking coordinators. There's the Viking main coordinator is obviously Brian Flores. Yeah. They have the linebacker coach who's getting offers, and then there's the DB coach. I'm looking at Jason Tarver, who was with the Niners for a long time.
Former Raider guy, right?
Yeah. And was a Santa Clara grad, spent 10 years with the Niners, been under Jim Schwartz for multiple seasons. That's an intriguing name. To me, that's an intriguing name.
Yeah, he did flip off the ref. He did. That's right. He was with the Raiders. Was he with C.O. Moore? Was he with those teams, the C.O. Moore teams, Jason Tarver?
He was with back the Niners in, 2012, 2014. So, like, at the end of the Dennis
Kaepernick.
Allen.
Yeah, with C.O. Moore with that Kaepernick. Yep. Jason Tarver was he the defensive Tuck coordinator?
Defensive coordinator.
He was defensive coordinator, that's right.
2012, 2014.
Yep. Interesting names.
So, I mean, look, here's some of the other people that have been linked to the Niners. Obviously, Ulbrich, Chris Richard, who was the Seattle defensive coordinator for multiple years. Ron Rivera is a name that I've seen floated about. Dennis Allen is a name I've seen floated about.
Would you be in our riverboat, Ron?
Would he even want to take that job at that age? I don't know. Matt Eberflus. Now, Matt Eberflus, 9 months ago, I would have said, eh. Now, you know what? That's not that bad of a name.
He's a good defensive coordinator.
There's obviously Rex Ryan's a name, but I don't love Rex Ryan. And then Pat's defensive coordinator, DeMarcus Covington, is a name that I also saw floated about, who's probably going to lose his job as well. I don't know. A lot of these names people aren't familiar with, so it's hard to assume. People are going to know who Ulbrich is. They're going to know who Robert Saleh is.
Yeah,
I don't want Brandon Staley.
I'll give you my top three. Here's what Shanahan said about Brandon Staley interviewing DCs. DCs, where is this at right here?
The internal one, I'll give Staley a shot, just talking to him. You know, he's been here. And there'll be a lot of guys outside the building, too.
Now, Spadoni, I don't see it on my board, but I would love for you to find their defensive scheme and need to be able to adjust more. If you could play that one for me in a second as I give my top three. Lou Anarumo from Cincinnati, I want him bad. I want him bad. I look at Trey Hendrickson and what they did up front. They did creative blitzes, what he's done against Kansas City. Remember, they snuffed out Buffalo in the snow in the playoff game, for crying out loud. Shut down Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs. Had Diggs crying on the sideline.
Could have won that other AFC Championship game if there wasn't a sideline hit.
Right. Late hit, which was questionable. Anarumo's a hell of a defensive coordinator.
Remember watching that in Philly?
Oh, I know. As everybody was partying on Broad Street.
The worst.
Oh, my gosh. What a disastrous trip. Actually, it was a lifetime memory. You know, it was pretty cool.
Do you need, as you're looking at it, do you need prior head coaching experience or no?
I need prior defensive coordinator experience.
You see, that's where I struggle with some of these guys that have never been coordinators. Like these guys that are on Flores' staff, like they've never called plays on that side.
I want prior defensive coordinator experience.
Yeah.
You're going against McVay. And you're going against, say, Kellen Moore if he's still in Philadelphia. If you're going against some Matt LaFleur in Green Bay.
Yes.
You know, somebody's off in Carolina's got an offensive minded head coach.
Yeah.
I need a guy with prior experience. So I go Lou Anarumo with Cincinnati. That's my number one choice. I see what Trey Hendrickson did, and I could see what he could do with Nick Bosa. I'm trying to maximize Nick Bosa. And I know people are going to say, man, Cincinnati had a terrible defense this year, and a lot of people are going to see the 925 back-to-back texts. The defense kept Cincy out of the playoffs. They had a slew of injuries that hindered that team, but they went on a 5-game winning streak. And you know what? That defense played well down the stretch, right? Well, a lot of no-namers. They lost their middle linebacker, Logan Wilson. They lost Jesse Bates in free agency. They lost a slew of corners. Greg Cosell was talking about it yesterday. Said they got so thin, but Anarumo did what he had to do with that core, and they won 5 games down the stretch, straight up. So I want Anarumo because I know he can get the most out of Nick Bosa. I know he can get the most out of Fred Warner. I've seen it, and I know what he can do with these DBs. So he's my number one. I'm still on a weak Martindale train because I know what the exotic blitz packages, you're going to get burned from time to time with weak Martindale, but he's going to put dudes in all kind of different spots. You're not going to know what's coming with weak Martindale.
He's been around. He's a lifer.
And he's a lifer. Yeah. And guess what? You talk about Al Golden being at Notre Dame, college concepts, knowing the college game, a lot of college concepts in the NFL. Give me Wink Martindale, who's been at Michigan and coached against some high-level offenses this season.
And Wink's spicy enough to kind of mix it up with, like when I look at what Kyle really needs, I do think he needs somebody with a spine.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? I need
just
somebody.
Curse out of back. Like, yo, back up.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the hell out of my way.
Yeah.
Get out of my way.
I believe that he does need a little bit of that.
So when you think about that.
Tension.
Absolutely. So when you think about that and Wink Martindale, you want to talk about experience? Scott. Plenty of experience at the defensive coordinator. Exactly. Won a Super Bowl with Baltimore. Was there for a long time. Did not know that the New York Giants led the league in takeaways when he was a defensive coordinator up there with Brian Daboll. So that would be my number two option. Wink Martindale. So I want Lou Anarumo, Wink Martindale. Okay. And my third choice, this is the hard one. Because I do like the Patrick Graham name. It's an interesting one. I do think you could do some things with that. Robert Saleh, I don't want to go there, but if all else fails and you don't tweak the scheme, I'd rather have Saleh than Ulbrich. And to me, the Saleh name, I know everybody's, yeah, Robert Saleh. I don't really want him, But I think for this team and for Shanahan, in terms of a trust factor, that'd be my number three option.
Let me throw one at you. You think Pete Carroll got anything left as a DC?
I think he wants to be a head coach.
I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. But let's say all else fails. Would you rather? I'm asking sincerely. Would you rather have Robert Saleh or Pete Carroll? If you're going to run that system.
The rah-rah guy, Pete Carroll, jumping around?
I think I'd rather have Pete Carroll than Robert Saleh. I really would. I think Pete would be perfect.
What did Pete do this last year?
Nothing.
What did he do? I mean, like, did he do any broadcasting?
No.
Did he cry tape? I don't.
His defense was leaking oil the last 5 years.
Yeah, it was not good.
He was up there.
It was not good.
But I would argue personnel was a big part of that.
It was not good.
I know.
It was not good. Well, scheme change. I want to play this one. And I want to know if Roasters 888-957-9570 believe this. When Shanahan says he may think about tweaking the scheme.
You got to adjust. I mean, your scheme changes when people are getting hurt, when you can't do exactly what you want to do. It happens on offense all the time. You guys are going to see, I hear from you guys, but I mean, the offense looks different when a different quarterback gets in there. It looks different when Christian McCaffrey gets in there. It looks different all the time, and that's how defenses can be too. But you have to build it that way. Because it's really hard to just change something up in 3 days of practice. You got to have that foundation of how you implement it and where you think the season can go, and that's what you really truly try to build in the offseason, and then in the training camp, and you know that's. Something I think we'll be better at building this offseason, having a little bit more time to do it, being a little more prepared for it, because we saw where it went last year, and that starts with getting a coordinator in here who can help us map that out, and once we do map that out, it goes right to free agency and how to make sure we can get the best possible situation that we have out of the situation that we're in, and then it goes to the draft, and when that's over, all the guys are here, and then you get to work.
You believe that?
Yeah. I think this is the biggest acquisition of the offseason. To me, this is bigger than any personnel. Like, yes, personnel, you got to hit. They got to nail the free agency. They got to. The schematics on defense were just so far behind. Just so far behind. This is the number one, I think, the number one domino of the offseason. And it's going to be so hard to tell if this is going to be good or not until we start playing games. You got to maximize Bosa.
Yep.
You got to put Fred Warner in a position to continue to succeed. Mm-hmm. And then whatever personnel changes that they make via the draft and free agency or bringing guys back, you got to maximize that. And I look at someone like Baltimore this year where they lost their DC to Seattle as a head coach.
Yep.
And they were scuffling on defense. And then they somehow righted the ship.
Well,
and you look at how they finished and you're like, all right, I think it could be an ugly early next year because you're going to have a lot of new parts and a lot of new pieces. I need someone who has the cachet to be able to get the chaos on defense under control.
You know, their defensive coordinator, I'm going to pull up his name right now because he's been in their system for a long time, Zach Orr. Zach Orr is their defensive coordinator in Baltimore. And they made the move midway through the year. You hear the broadcasters talk about it every Baltimore game. They shifted Kyle Hamilton, one of the best safeties in all of football, free safety. Loved him coming out of Notre Dame and knew the Niners had probably no shot at getting him. He's a hell of a player. Hell of a player. They shifted him to the back end and made him play free safety. And it was like, oh. And then they got Marlon Humphrey back at the nickel spot. And they got healthy defensive backfield. Moving Kyle Hamilton to free safety changed their entire defense. He was playing in the box. They had no back end safety. They were getting beat. Remember, Jamar Chase had one of the greatest days as a wide receiver ever on that Thursday night football game. They were getting torched. They made a little subtle tweak with their scheme or with their personnel, and it helped their scheme out, and now they're looking like one of the better defenses in the playoffs. They already shut down the run, so that's a good thing. Would Shanahan be open to having a defense coordinator who likes to gamble off third down? Shanahan loves dropping seven. He loves having a great front four. But one thing we know over the last couple of years is that you can't bank on the front four. John Lynch has got to go out there and trade for Randy Gregory and Chase Young, and he's still not generating consistent pressure. And that happens to do with the interior pressure as well. Javon Hargrave, who, by the way, they said is probably going to move on. They would like to retain him, but they're telling him, hey,
yeah, that's
he's gone.
Yeah,
he's gone. Post June 1st designation, he won't be in the Niner uniform next season. And that was a whiff.
That was a
big whiff. They have been whiffing on D-tackles, so if you don't have the D-tackles that could create chaos inside, then you're going to have to blitz a little bit more. So then, if you're going to have to blitz a little more, I need a guy who knows how to blitz. And Arumo knows how to blitz. Wink Martindale certainly knows how to blitz. So that's where I'm at. If you're going to run the same scheme, you got to guarantee me two studs inside, right? Mm-hmm. In a wide nine system. If you're not going to deviate from this wide nine system, who are you going to bring inside and D-tackle?
So out on the wide nine. Like, I think that, like, the last thing they need is a bunch of heavy, slow dudes in the middle. You know what they need? Elite speed on the edges. Mm-hmm. That's why I keep coming back to you. I would love to be able, via free agency, Bonte, to sign some veteran offensive linemen. And then that first pick in the draft is, hey, I can move up two spots,
right,
or whoever falls to me, go get the best edge rusher. I keep coming back to Walker. If the Georgia kid falls, that's the guy to go get.
Yeah, I don't know if he's fallen. So we're talking about the draft.
Run on quarterbacks,
right?
That's what you're hoping for.
Well,
you're hoping for a run on quarterbacks.
Well, quarterbacks, you're hoping that three go in the top 10.
Yeah.
Who would it be? Shador, Cam, Jackson Dart, maybe? I see Jackson Dart going into the second
round. The Penn State Allard is getting a lot of love lately.
It's a big game for him.
Yeah, it is. No, it's huge.
Well, you've got like a million tackles. You got this tight end, or I don't know where he's going to go. The Penn State tight end. You don't know where he's going to go.
I didn't realize he was 6'6".
But with Bowers being as great as he was this year, I think that you could see a tight end go early.
Would you take him 11 overall?
The tight end?
Yeah.
I'd be open to that. You got to play them. You can't just have them back. Like, that's where I'm going to play two tight ends.
Well, the reason why I bring that up, you bring this tight end at 11. So, say the Niners take this tight end from Penn State. Tyler Ward. This guy had, what was the game against USC? I think he had like 21 catches.
Oh, no, he's a monster.
He's 6'6", 257. And automatically, I think, to the double tight end sets of Patriots, just to Roman Aaron Hernandez and Rob Gronkowski. And you tweak that scheme to the point where you're running Kittle and Tyler Ward out there. You got two threats in the pass game. Two guys, and you know Penn State, they run the ball, so this guy's physical.
Yes.
So you got two tight ends who can run block and catch the football. And if Brandon Ayuk is not going to be ready, and you somehow, some way move Debo for a pick, now I got two tight ends, a rookie, the heir apparent to George Kittle. I'm not saying George Kittle move on, but I keep George Kittle here. This guy, Tyler Ward, can learn from George Kittle. So I got two tight ends. I have Ricky Pearsall and Jawan Jennings. I can go get me another quintessential slot receiver with the replacement, whatever pick I get from Debo Samuel. And all of a sudden, I got Pearsall, Jennings, set receiver, Brandon Ayuk coming back, and I got two tight ends to go with Chris McCaffrey. Damn. I like that for Brock Purdy and Kyle Shanahan. That's not the number one need.
No, I know.
That's one of those situations where it's like, is he the best player available? And in the first round, my mindset kind of goes to best player available.
Was Brock Bowers
the number one priority for the Raiders?
No, but he's going to be a Hall of Famer if he stays on this trajectory.
They just took best player available.
But that's where I think they're in a really good spot here, where it's either you could trade down, you could move up a slot or two. Like, okay, in this hypothetical, as we talk about Debo, if I could package my 11th pick and Debo to move up to like 7 or 8 and I go get that edge rusher, like, now I'm open to that. Whatever you pick, and this is where that, like, tight end is a tough one. It's a tough sell to me, but just hear me out.
Yeah.
It's got to be a plug-and-play starter.
Yep.
That first pick's got to be plug-and-play. It just has to be. You know, like, this is a team that needs plug-and-play players.
Like,
especially on defense, B.
I tend to stay away from mock drafts. You know me, I've said that for years and years and years, but with this 49ers team, mock drafts, the one thing I do use mock drafts for, not so much where I think a player is going to go to that particular destination, it's just to learn what players are on the board.
Yeah, no doubt.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Tackles, so it's like Campbell, Banks, Simmons are all probably going to be top 12, top 13 picks.
Well, they have, in this mock draft, looking out on ESPN, they have Josh Simmons going 16 overall to the Arizona Cardinals.
Okay.
Out of Ohio State.
My mocks are different.
Right. Every mock is different.
Yes.
Every mock is different.
Well, like,
but they're in the same ballpark.
Who plays tonight? Penn State plays tonight?
Penn State plays Notre Dame.
Tonight, Niner fans, when you're watching these college games, because we're going to be watching, it's the second most watched sport in America, NFL 1, college football 2, not the NBA, not Major League Baseball. Abdul Carter on Penn State and the tight end are monsters.
Yep.
These are guys that are going to be top 15 picks.
Yep. So, I mean, Abdul Carter, they have him going 6 overall to the Las Vegas Raiders in this mock draft I'm looking at.
Look at you. Look at you. He's guy, like loving that.
Well, that's the Max Crosby replacement. Who's going to ask for a trade?
And one thing we know about Penn State, they do produce D-ends. I mean, Chop Robinson in Miami is going to be a baller.
He's a player.
He's going to be a baller. Yeah. Speed rusher.
Micah.
Kevin, Tomorrow, Kevin Banks Jr. for Texas. This guy's like a monster. He's 6'4", 320. Yeah. He's a load. We'll see about that. But I think, so if the Niners don't have their preferred pick there, right? Whatever it is, interior lineman, Jalen Walker in his mock draft is going 14 to Atlanta.
14? Or
15 to Atlanta. 15 to Atlanta.
So I'm saying, the Niners are in a good spot here.
I think you could maybe trade down and get multiple picks. Maybe you get multiple picks and you get said defensive player. So I'm open to anything.
Detroit did that. So yep. Detroit had the 6th or 7th pick.
6th pick.
And they traded down, still got Jahmyr Gibbs. Yep. And then it netted them the extra draft pick, which got them LaPorta.
Yep.
To me, that's the kind of draft the Niners need to have. You know? And so, God, I can't wait to just. All these games, there's so many players sides of the ball for all these teams that I'm going to be targeting and other players that have already finished their seasons.
When you watch Ohio State, Texas, you kind of got to ignore Caleb Downs, even though he's going to make play after play after play, because he's a true sophomore and he can't come out. I'm watching the Rose Bowl and I see this number 2 guy's everywhere. Who is this? Oh, Caleb Downs, transfer from Alabama with the Ohio State. He was in a pass game. He was in a run game. Yeah, he was just lighting dudes up. Playing deep. Like, this guy is unbelievable. He's like one of my favorite players already in football, Caleb Downs. And then you got the other guy, Jeremiah Smith, on the other side. And I'm like, damn, I got to wait 2 years for him?
There's only one way the Niners can disappoint me when it comes. And this draft, I'm going to be talking about it for the next 4 months. If they take an interior defensive lineman, my head will explode.
Well, this mock draft that I told you about, they have the Niners taking Shamar Stewart.
Yeah, no.
Defensive lineman. No. Texas A&M. No. And let me read you the bio here.
No.
Let me read you the bio. Let me read you the bio before we get to the injury report. The 49ers had to replenish their defensive line, which has been the driving force for much of their success during the Kyle Shanahan John Lynch era. Stewart is a toolsy defensive lineman who is likely to see his stock skyrocket at pre-draft events because of his athletic skills and 6'6", 290-pound frame. He has more potential than production to date, which I don't like.
Javon Kinlaw.
I don't like that.
On line one.
As he's never had more. Listen to this. He's never had more than a sack and a half in the season.
A sack and a half.
He's never had more.
And he's going in the top 20.
Top 11.
Jesus Christ.
So then, but Stewart's 2.42 second average time to first pressure is the best long defensive lineman in FBS.
Shows
that he just needs to learn how to finish his pressers with sacks. Yeah, I am good. I am good off of that.
Need plug and play impact starters, not projects.
How do you not get a sack and a half? How do you not get more than a sack and a half in a college season? But they made up the stat. I've never heard of the stat before. But Stewart's 2.42 second average time to first pressure. They had to make something up.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, I don't want a project.
I
don't
bet Lombardi knows what that means.
Who?
David Lombardi.
leave him alone. leave him alone, dude. He's my boy Harry Barrison. You know what? He opened the box, and I got to give Harry.
Look, Mason Graham's the guy everybody mocks in the top 15. Who's like an interior Michigan defensive guy. And I like him. He's a nice one. I'm not taking a D tackle in the first round. I'm just not doing it. I'm not doing it.
I ran into Mikey Williams from the Yo Club yesterday.
Yeah, he's out
there. Yeah.
Mikey Williams is the only guy I know who would use the word pal in an Instagram post.
Dude, he's a good dude. We've been in fantasy league for many, many years, and now we're in this college football pick'em, which has been really fun.
Did he let you come up for air?
A little bit. His wife had to come through and interject, Mrs. Williams. I love it. Katie was great.
She must be a saint.
She is a saint, dealing with that joker. But Harry Barrison. He's great on Twitter. Harry, we got to bring Harry on to the show one time. He missed his calling. He was going to be a writer. And then he got into the political game for a second. So Harry, as David Lombardi always says, he's never wrong, right? He's never wrong. So Harry had a tweet back at Tampa Bay.
Where
David was right. So Harry, he was at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers game when Debo chopped Tabor Pepper in the neck. It was an emotional win. But we got to be honest. We've seen 9 games. The team is what it is. It's not good enough in any phase to be a contender. They'll give us some great moments along the way, but my expectations have been lowered. When Harry was right, David Lombardi replied to him, in any phase, quotation marks and question, in any phase, really? In a league of parity and mediocrity, They're a top five offense, probably top three once CMC is fully reintegrated, and very possibly a top 10 defense.
None of that ended up being true.
SF allowed 3.7 yards per play. Now, Jalen McMillan wasn't around, and Mike Evans was hurt for that football game, and he hadn't yet fully committed to Bucky Irving. Tampa's a lot different now. There are no complete teams in the NFL, said David Lombardi. See Detroit, Houston, or any KC game. This is about special teams issues, period. Saying the 49ers aren't contenders is a take that's more emotional than the win itself.
Yeah, they went 6-11.
All right, hold on. I know it's not injury time. Not done yet. Last one. Sorry, Kingstail. Harry Barrison did clap back at the end of the season. At the end of the season, he waited to the other day to say, remember after the Tampa Bay game when I said they weren't good enough in any phase to be a contender, and you told me I was being emotional? Harry did goes, I actually wasn't feeling emotional at the time. That was just how I saw it then, and I think it bore out that way. David, you're not always right. David hasn't replied, and it was a nice little duck for Harry Barrison. Injury report.
It's time for the injury report.
It really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
David Sykes injured. Sometimes you're just wrong. You got to take the L. You were right. I was wrong. Lord knows how many L's we've taken on the show.
Oh, who cares?
I mean, good Lord. The Rams are cooked. They go on to win the Super Bowl.
That's what we're saying out loud. Shask and I. That we both believe this team can make a deep run in the playoffs.
Absolutely.
All they did was lose to Sacramento in the first playing game. It's okay. My guy, Klay Thompson, didn't even make a shot in his last game as a member of the Golden State Warriors.
Although
it doesn't count the score sheet, but he hit a shot. Listen, it's okay to take an L. David, I'm going to work with you on this. It's okay to take an L. All right. Injury report. Oh, boy. Warriors play the Pistons. We'll talk Anthony Slater in 30 minutes. Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Dennis Schroeder, Moses Moody are all questionable tonight.
Who's going to play?
As the Warriors start their 4-game road trip in Detroit. This is the first game of a back-to-back as the Warriors take on the Pacers tomorrow night. Now, the great thing is the Pistons are coming off a back. They're going to be on the back end of a back-to-back. Doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean anything at all.
Oh, who cares?
It's a report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game? Brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. Who do you want as your defensive coordinator? What do you think about Deebo Samuel? We'll continue to dive into Brock Purdy and the 49ers here as we get ready for the offseason and the NFL playoffs, plus much, much more on the Golden State Warriors, Justin Verlander, college football, all that stuff coming up on the Morning Rust.